You're listening to a message from The Gathering. Check us out on Facebook or our website at peopleintheircity.com. Now, prepare your heart for God to speak something powerful into your life.
All right, hey, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, Matthew, Mark, Luke. John, you got it. All right, we're going to wrap up our movie themed message series we've been in called At the Movies. We've been watching fun movie clips and seeing if there's any storylines that may just line up with the heart of God in the Bible. Has this series not been so fun? Hasn't this been so good? And I just want to real quick say thank you, thank you, thank you to everybody who served and helped out to make this thing happen. Thanks to everybody who made popcorn. Thanks to, man, our kids ministry leaders over there that have been doing an incredible job helping our kids just have an amazing time. And then real quick, how about that voice of the theater? Man, some of you guys don't know this, but that's our very own Tom Meyer. Yeah, and we just did that in a kid's classroom next door. Isn't that awesome? So thank you to Tom. And hey, I want to say thank you to everybody who's joining us live online right now. We're so glad you have tuned in. Thank you all for showing up this morning. Is this not the perfect weather for the Polar Express? Man, you made it. Thank you so much. And don't you just love the Polar Express? Man, I love it. This movie is so full of meaning if you pay attention. And so in this scene that we just watched, it is such an incredible demonstration of what it really looks like when you have faith, okay? So follow me. It's Christmas Eve at the North Pole. Santa is about to make his grand appearance. And so everybody's celebrating. Everybody's going crazy. The crowd cheers when they see those reindeer bells brought out. They cheer at the sound of the reindeer bells as they're getting hitched up to the reindeer. Everybody's going crazy except for one kid, the young boy, the main character. He's confused. He can't hear the sound of the bells at all. But then, sure enough, Santa makes his grand appearance. The doors swing wide open, and the crowd goes wild at the sight of him. That is everybody except for one kid, the young boy, the main character. He's frustrated because he can't seem to see Santa at all. But then in the frenzy, a reindeer bell comes loose, flies through the air, hits the ground, and clanks its way all the way over to his feet. He picks it up. He still, in that moment, can't hear the sound of that bell, and he has to make a decision at this point. Okay, here it is. Either everyone around him is delusional, Santa isn't real, and it's just a broken bell that doesn't ring at all, or Santa is real, the bell makes a beautiful noise, and he's the only one missing out on all these amazing experiences that everyone around him is having simply because he refuses to believe. Have you ever missed out? Let me say it this way. Have you ever missed out in life? Like where other people are having some amazing moments and amazing experiences and you missed out on those moments, those experiences. I remember the summer of 1985. I'm not kidding. I remember this. I was just about to turn 5, okay? But I was still 4 years old. And I remember getting dropped off at my grandma's house for the weekend because as far as I knew, my family, they were just going to Kansas City for the weekend. The rest of them were going to Kansas City, okay? That's all I knew. Well, when they got back to pick me up, I noticed that my older brother had a brand new Royals baseball cap. And that's when I began to figure out that they had gone to a Royals baseball game. Now, I admit, it wasn't until several years later that I began to realize that they had also gone to a Royals baseball game the same season that the Royals won the World Series. Right? George Brett, y'all. You know how many seasons we win the World Series? Of course you do. You all get it, right? So, but no, Brandon, he's only 4 years old. He won't be able to sit through a whole Royals game. Let's leave him at grandma's house. Okay, not only that, I then also discovered that they had gone to Worlds of Fun as well. Now, I know I was only like 4 years old, but I knew how significant that was. But no, Brandon's only 4. He'll just slow us down at Worlds of Fun. Let's go leave him at grandma's house. Church, I missed out. These people were living. And isn't that the worst feeling when you discover that you miss out? Like, you can just feel it in your chest, right? Have you, or are you missing out? Are other people having some amazing moments and experiences all around you? And or are they in on something that you're just not aware of? And you just can't figure out why life continues to be the same for you. Are you missing out, church? And so here's why I said this scene is an incredible demonstration of faith, okay? Because even though he couldn't hear the sound of the bells, even though he had not yet seen Santa with his own eyes yet, okay, he still sees the evidence of those things all around him. He still sees the evidence of the truth all around him. He hears and sees what's happening in the lives of other people around him, and he still chose to believe the truth, even though his own personal circumstances, his own personal experience might beg to differ with reality, okay? But then listen, okay, here's where faith really kicks in. He then behaves according to the truth. Okay, listen, it's not just that he says he believes. We hear him say, I believe, okay? But it's not just that he says it. No, he makes a decision. He decides that he believes. He makes a decision to believe the truth. And here's how we know he made a decision, because he then acts on it. He rings the bell expecting to hear a sound. Okay, if he really didn't believe, then why ring the bell? Because it's either just going to be silent or clank like it did before. But no, he rings the bell, and get this, his faith is then rewarded. He then hears the beautiful sound that it makes, and then he sees the person that he had chosen to believe in. Come on, are you catching this, church? Man, this is faith. He determines to believe the truth. He then acts on the truth, and he stops missing out. He starts experiencing the life that other people around him are experiencing. Okay, so listen to me very carefully. Faith in Jesus is the only way to have real life. Okay? And faith in Jesus rewards you with that real life that your soul is hoping for. And so I want to talk with you about faith today, okay? There is so much confusion out there today about what faith really is. Have you noticed just how much bad and wrong and just flat out terrible information there is out there ever since the whole world was handed a keyboard and a platform to speak their mind? Right? It's just awful, okay? So I want to make this so easy for us today. Let's just start right here, okay? Number one, what faith is. Let's talk about what faith is. And now, if you call the gathering home, I'm hoping you may already have this memorized, okay? I'm about to give you a really accurate definition for faith. It's actually kind of more of an equation, but check this out. Belief plus action equals faith. Belief plus action. Somebody better write that down. Belief plus action equals faith. Now, let me just add one little caveat to that though, okay? It's not that you can just believe anything you want and call it faith. No, faith is when you believe the truth and act upon it. Okay, so faith is believing the truth and then behaving accordingly, okay? So faith has two elements. Number one, you're convinced of the truth. You're certain of reality. Even if you can't directly see that reality with your own eyes, you can see the evidence of it, though, all around you, okay? And then so here's the second element of faith. You then put your hope in the truth. You embrace it. You take steps. You do something. You live according to it. You behave and act upon what you know to be true. Let me show this to you in the Bible. This is Hebrews 11, verse 1. It says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. Again, it's a visible action. It's a real demonstration, okay? Our belief and hope, it's a demonstration of our belief and our hope in the truth. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Okay, so let me just give you a couple of reasons why faith is required with Jesus, okay? So here's one. Because at this current moment, he's completely invisible to us. So faith is required. Are you seeing this? At the moment, he's completely invisible to us. We can't see him. But just because we can't see him with our physical eyes, it does not mean that there's no evidence that his existence and that his presence isn't current reality. Just because we can't see God, it doesn't mean we can't know the truth about him and then act accordingly. I'll say it this way. It doesn't mean we can't have a real relationship with him. It doesn't mean we can't live the life that he created us to live with him. I had a pen pal one time in the third grade. Anybody have a pen pal? All right, now I never saw him, but that didn't keep me from behaving according to the truth. Right? That didn't keep me from talking with him, communicating with him. That didn't keep us from developing a relationship. So just because I never saw him, that didn't mean I just then assumed that there was some mischievous adult out there writing fake letters to me in third grade handwriting just to deceive me and get some laughs. No, I knew there was a real kid out there. His name was Jerry. We were friends, okay? So listen, we can't see God, but that doesn't mean he's not a real person, and it doesn't mean he's not close to you now. He is here now. That is reality, okay? That's the truth. Okay, but here's another reason why faith is required with Jesus, because every one of us, every human has all at some point chosen to rebel against the truth. We have all decided to rebel against the truth of who God is and go our own way. Come on, everyone has sinned and fallen short, right? But now God gives us a second chance by his grace. We get to choose to turn from our sin. We get to choose to repent, to turn to the truth and believe, to live according to the truth that Jesus is Lord. And church, there is evidence all around us of that reality, okay? You guys remember one of Jesus' disciples? His name was Thomas. He's often referred to as Doubting Thomas, okay? And here's why. After Jesus had risen from the dead, Jesus appeared to a number of his disciples on a couple different occasions. But Thomas happened to miss out on both of those things, okay? And so the other disciples, though, they told him, "We've seen Jesus alive. He's alive." But Thomas made this statement. He said, "I refuse to believe that he's alive until I see him with my own eyes and until I can put my hands in the holes where the nails went through his hands, until I can put my hand in his side where they stabbed him with a spear." Well, sure enough, Jesus shows up and Thomas gets to see and feel, right? And now here's the statement he made. He said, "My Lord and my God." He worships him. Okay, but watch this. John 20, verse 29, this is what Jesus says. Then Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me." Watch this, church. "Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." He's talking about us. Come on, and here's what's so cool. Get this. Once you have faith, then you can see. And then you can hear. Listen, I'm not saying that you will physically see Jesus in this life or that you'll hear his audible voice, though there are some people that have had those experiences. But here's what I'm saying. Your spiritual eyes will be open to the evidence of all the truth around you when you put your faith in Jesus. You will see him working in you and all around you. You will hear him speaking to your heart. You will see him working in the lives of other people around you. You will see him leading you. You'll be able to look back on your life and see how much he has helped you. This is why you hear so many people who have given their lives to Jesus. They make statements like this. They say, "I was blind, but now I see. I was dead, but now I'm alive. I was missing out. Now I'm alive like never before. I'm living the life that Jesus has for me." Okay, belief plus action equals faith, and faith in Jesus is the only way to have real life. Faith in Jesus rewards you with the life that your soul is hoping for. Okay, so listen, if that's faith, then let's talk about what faith is not, okay? Here's number two, what faith is not. What faith is not, okay, listen. Faith is not religion. F- Faith is not religion. Religion tries to make you earn that relationship with God. Religion tries to make you earn his love and his favor. We just saw last week that that's a gift from God, and it can only be received from God. Amen? Okay, so listen to me. You can't believe something that's untrue about God and still call it faith. You with me? Okay, so here's another one then. Sharing memes on Facebook that promise God's blessing over you and your life is not faith. You know what I'm talking about? Share this meme with 50 people, like it and share it with 50 people, and God will bless you with yada, yada, yada. Okay, stop doing that. Like, and listen, most of those things are so theologically messed up and so untrue about who Jesus is and what he's really like. There's no way Jesus could bless that. Again, this is what happens when you give the whole world the internet and a keyboard. Okay, so, but here's what I want you to get. Listen, you can't believe something that's untrue about God and call it faith. Okay, so along those same lines, church, treating God like a genie in a bottle is not faith. Okay, here's what I mean, and I'm going to say this with so much grace, okay? Some of us are missing out, and we want so much for God just to make our lives better or make our lives more exciting, or some of us are just wanting God to make our lives easy. Okay, let me just summarize that. We're wanting God just to sweep in and just pour out his blessings onto our lives, okay? We all want that, don't we? Here's what amazes me, though. Some of us want God to sweep in and bless us. Here's what I keep watching. We aren't willing to consistently do even the tiniest things that God is telling us to do so that he can, in fact, bless us. You getting this? Listen, we're praying and wishing, just God bless me. Would you bless my life? And God says, okay, you know what I've always wanted? I've always wanted a real relationship with you. I want that above all else. In fact, that is the biggest avenue into your life through which I can bless you. So here's what I want you to do. I want you just to set aside some time every morning. Spend that time with me. Come read my word. Come pray. Come, let's talk and spend time together. But here's what we do. We say, no. I say, God, no. You know I don't have time for that. I can't do that, God. Or we say, God, I want you to bless me. We're wishing, God, would you bless me? Please bless my life. And God says, okay, I'll do it. But first, I need you to go forgive that person over there. I need you to forgive them because your unforgiveness is blocking an avenue into your life through which I want to bless you. But then here's what we do. We say, no. Are you kidding me, God? You know what that person did to me. That's crazy. I could never forgive that person. We're praying and we're wishing, God, would you bless me? Would you just bless my life? Please make everything better. Please come in and sweep in and do this thing. And then God says, okay, I'll do it. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to begin to invest some of your time and your talent. I want you to serve with Team Reborn. Or in fact, I want you to do this. I want you to take the step of obedience and start to bring the tithe, because that will open up an avenue into your life through which I can pour out my blessings. But here's what we do. Are you kidding me, God? No. I'm not going to tithe. What is this, the Old Testament? I ain't doing that. This is my money, which is so theologically incorrect. But no, God, there's no way. Come on, you know my sister. You know I could never do that. Church, come on. If we're honest, here's what we often want to believe about God. We want to put ourselves in a position where we can say and we can believe, but God, if you're actually good the way you say you are, if you're actually truly loving the way you say you are, then you should just bless me and treat me well no matter what, no questions asked, nothing required. Come on, if we're honest, sometimes that's what we're tempted to want to believe, is it not? Okay, and then we actually blame God when we don't do what he says and our lives don't get blessed. We blame God when we keep missing out. Friends, with grace this morning, that's not faith. That's saying you believe in God, but you're not behaving according to that belief. And if you refuse to act according to your beliefs, then at some point we have to ask, do you really believe what you say you believe? It's like this. Let's say you decide to go stand in the middle of the interstate. Okay, either you don't believe that cars drive there at 75 miles an hour, or you just don't care. So let me just summarize what faith is not. Faith is not believing and acting upon a lie. You got me? So I've heard it said before that it actually requires more faith to be an atheist than it does to be a Christian. Because if you're an atheist, then you have to believe that nothing created everything and that all of life is random chance. Okay, so real quick, that's not faith. Okay, it's sad, but here's what that is. That's called deception and living life deceived. Okay? But here's what's even sadder. Do you know what a whole bunch of atheists and a whole bunch of people today who call themselves Christians have in common? They're perfectly content to live life deceived. Oh, dip. Come on. We call ourselves Christians. We allow ourselves to go through life believing what we want to believe about God. We say, man, I prayed that prayer that one time. Oh, I believe in my brain that Jesus exists. And then we think we're good to go. We think everything's fine, that we can then go on and do whatever we want to do in life, live however we want to live, and God should just bless it, and in the end, he should just make everything fine, and we should never have to really take the time to get to know who he is, to have a relationship with him, find out what he's really like, and what he would want me to do with my life. Okay, and listen to me. Here's why we do those things. Because when we can convince ourselves that a lie is the truth, let me say it this way. When you can convince yourself that a lie is the truth, that means you don't have to do the right thing. So can I tell you something? A lot of people have believed a lie. And they've told themselves that their intellect is good enough. That intellectually, they believe in their brains that Jesus exists, and so they're good to go. Okay, but listen to me. Your intellect doesn't impress God. Okay, your faith does. Hebrews 11, 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to believe God. It's not just enough to believe that he exists. You have to act upon and behave according to those beliefs. Church, belief in the truth of who Jesus is, that he is Lord, that he gets to be Lord. Belief in the truth plus action or living according to that truth is faith. And faith in Jesus and who he really is and what he's really done and what he says he'll do, living according to his way of life is the only way to have real life. Faith in Jesus rewards you with the life that your soul is longing and hoping for. All right, so here's my last point. What do you need to do? What do you need to do? Okay, with your Bibles open to John 14. John 14, we're going to read verse 6. Okay, and church, I want you to listen and hear, and I want you to see what Jesus says. Okay, it says, Jesus told him, watch this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. That life that your soul is longing and hoping for is Jesus. He says, no one can come to the Father except through me. Church, Jesus is the only way. And notice this, truth is not just something to have knowledge of. Truth is a person that you can believe in and have a relationship with. His name is Jesus. And his life, I'm telling you, he doesn't want to just make your life better. He is the life that you need. Listen, if Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and if faith is the only way to have that real life, then can I encourage you, there is only one choice to make. There is only one thing to do. There is only one action to take. Make the decision, believe in Jesus, and live your life according to the truth of who he is. Who he really is, what he's really done, what he's really going to do. Choose his way, believe him, receive him, trust in, commit to, and rely upon Jesus with your life. Act according to the truth, live life for him, and therefore be rewarded with the life that your soul is hoping for and longing for. Some of you need to believe in Jesus for the first time today and start acting according to the truth. Some of us say we believe in Jesus, but it's time to start acting like it. You need to trust in, commit to, and rely upon Jesus. Because listen, you say you believe in him, but your actions show something else. They show that you keep choosing yourself, your own preferences, your desires, or just other things in life. You keep going other ways. You refuse to repent of that pornography. You refuse to talk to anybody about that secret sin that God's saying, we need to deal with this. You refuse to forgive that person that you know you need to forgive. You refuse to stop hanging out with those friends who don't believe in Jesus and keep dragging you further and further away from him. You're in love with money more than you're in love with Jesus. You're more excited about giving FaceTime to Facebook than you are about giving your face to God's word. And listen, I know that none of us would ever really say this about ourselves, okay? But when we call the shots, and when we choose our own preferences, when we say, I'm gonna do things my way, here's what we're really saying. We're saying, I'm God. Me. I'm God. Okay, listen, I know that none of us would ever say that about ourselves, okay? But our behavior is demonstrating that, okay? And you are not God. You make the lousiest God I've ever seen in my life. Listen, Grace, but some of you showed up here a while back, some recently, some even a while back, and you show up frequently, sometimes infrequently, but you're still stuck. Or you're still depressed, or you're still heading down that path that does not line up with the truth of who Jesus is, or you're still trying the genie in the bottle approach. Or man, you go a little ways with Jesus, but then you give up and you just keep going backwards, and so you stay right where you're at. Okay, but all along the way, I say this with so much grace, but here's what I keep watching. Some of us are just so reluctant to actually do the things that people who really have faith in Jesus actually do. In some sense, we're refusing. We're so reluctant. You won't give yourself to the lifestyle of a person who truly believes in Jesus. You won't allow yourself to think the way God wants to train your brain to think. And so you continue on in an existence where you say you believe in God, but you're still missing out. On the other hand, some of you showed up recently, sometimes some of you guys a while ago, but you showed up and you said, man, I believe, and you went all in. You just went after it. You started taking steps. And man, you're living life like never before. And I've even heard stories like this. I actually love this. Some of you showed up and you said, I believe. And there was some reluctance though. It's not like you were like thrilled to start taking steps. Some of you actually did things like this. You were like, I guess I'll start showing up here each Sunday. I guess I'll start reading my Bible. I guess I'll go to Connect. I guess I'll serve with Team Reborn. I guess I'll go to that neighborhood gathering thing, give it a try. I guess I'll start tithing. Dear God, you better show up on this one. Some of you, even though you weren't exactly excited and you weren't overflowing with just bubbly excitement when you started, nonetheless, you started living your life according to the truth, and you have now been rewarded with real life because of it. You're alive like never before. Family, I don't know what it's going to take for you to start living according to the truth, but for me, I got to a place in my life where I was so sick of choosing death. Hey, I grew up in church my whole entire life. Would have told you from day one, as far as I can remember, yes, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. I believe that Jesus existed up here in my brain my whole entire life, but I never lived according to that truth. I never did anything. So I kept doing things my way. I kept going my own way, choosing my preferences. The only problem is those things made me miserable. I found myself just stuck. I found myself prideful, lonely, confused, upset, halfway depressed, stuck in habitual sin, and everything just kept getting worse. And then one day, I heard the truth about Jesus, about who he really is. I actually heard about how much he even loves me, even in that condition. How much he did not want to hold me at arm's length, but how much he wanted to draw me close to him, and how he had a real life, his life, that he would give to me. And I made a decision that day to believe in that Jesus. So I behaved according to the truth. Once I believed in him, I made the decision to trust in, commit to, and rely upon him. I went all in with Jesus. I said, if this is the truth, if you're Lord, then I'm going to start acting like it. You get to call the shots, not me. So I gave my, here's my life. I give it to you. It's not mine to begin with. It's yours. So have it and let's live it according to your ways. And church, I have not arrived. I've still got issues. Thank you, Jesus, that he does not give up on me and he's still working on me. But I will tell you one thing. I've been having the time of my life ever since I got up off my knees that day after making the decision to trust in, commit to, and rely upon him. Best decision of my life. Listen, I don't know what it's going to take for you, but my goal is not to make you comfortable this morning. Okay, my priority is not for you to leave here with a good feeling right now, okay? My goal right now is to disrupt this moment in your life so that maybe you can be compelled to care about yourself enough to actually believe in the thing that you say you believe in and act according to it. What's it gonna take for you to believe in who Jesus really is and start living life according to that truth? What's it gonna take? Listen, for some of us, it's time to stop blaming others for why you're missing out. God really put that on my heart this week. Listen, some of us need to hear that. It's time to stop blaming others for why you're currently missing out. Grace. If you've done that, if you've been doing that, grace. Here's the good news. Grace isn't just to cover up where you've been and what you've done. Grace gives you the strength to move forward so you don't have to stay right there in that. Come on, it's time. Today's the day for you to believe the truth and then do the right thing because of it. Today's the day you make the choice to believe. Do you need to make that choice today? And listen, if you really want to make that choice today, then here's the question. Or if you say, no, I really have, Brandon, I've already made that choice. I really do believe. Then here's the question. What's your bell you need to ring? What do you need to do? What needs to change? Or what needs to start? My God loves you. He's not for a second wanting to hold you back and say, no, you get this right and you get this right before you come to me. No, he's just saying, just believe in me. Trust in, commit to, and rely upon me. Give your life into my hands. Let's do things my way. And I'm telling you, you'll begin to live the life that your soul is hoping and longing for. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Let's pray together. With so much grace, listen, what's keeping you from hearing that bell, if you will. What is causing you to continue to miss out? Can I just encourage you this morning, again, with so much grace, I think you know what it is. Man, I think it's that thing that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know, that you either need to stop, or the thing that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know, that you need to start. It's that thing that you know, that you need to confess. It's that forgiveness you need to give. It's that, maybe it's that step of faith. Maybe, listen, maybe it's stepping out and receiving prayer. Do you need to take a step of faith and just receive some prayer from one of our prayer leaders today? Maybe it's still that desire to have your own preferences. I don't know how else to say it other than your own preferences will only lead you into misery. I know firsthand. Yeah, there may be some fun in them from time to time here and there, but they're going to keep taking you further and further down a path that's farther away from real life. I'm telling you, I know that firsthand. God wants to give you life. His preferences will bring you joy. His preferences will bring you everything you're longing for. Well, what's that thing that you know, that you know, that you know, that's in the way? What if you decide to relent with that and you make the decision, God, I'm going to believe you. I'm going to trust in, commit to, and rely upon you. I'm going to behave according to the truth. Well, if you need to make the decision, I'm not talking about just getting a feeling or a goosebump. I'm talking about, do you need to make the decision, even for the first time this morning, to believe in Jesus? Come on, just pray this with me. Jesus, I choose today. I make a decision to believe the truth about you, that you are God and I am not, that your ways are best. My ways lead to death. I thank you that you love me. You've never stopped loving me. I thank you that you went to the cross to pay the penalty for all the choices that I've made that lead to death. I thank you that you were buried in my place, but that you rose again and that you are full of new life. I choose to believe that you are Lord of all, that you get to call the shots, not me. And so I'm choosing based on that decision to believe that's who you are, then I'm choosing to give my life into your hands. Here it is. Please be my Lord. Please call the shots. Please help me, Lord, live according to the truth from here on out. I don't want to go my own way anymore. I'm choosing today to follow you. I'm telling you, if you pray that prayer and you mean it, the Bible says God makes you a brand new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. New life. New life. Maybe you say, I've received that new life. Listen, what step do you need to take? Do you need to go to Connect and get connected with a church family? Do you need to show up here each weekend? Do you need to start reading your Bible and giving yourself in relationship, genuine relationship to God? Maybe you need to bring the tithe. Maybe you need to forgive that person. What is it? What if you decide to stop holding on to that thing and you decide right now, I'm going to do it God's way from here on out? What if you open up that avenue into your life through which God truly can bless you? Come on, just give that thing to God. God, I give this to you. Not my way anymore. I'm choosing to have faith today. I'm believing you. And I'm letting go, or I'm taking a step, I'm moving forward. Come on, that thing that you know, that you know, that you know, let go of it today. Say, Jesus, make a commitment in your heart. Jesus, I'm doing things your way from here on out. Lord, I pray you would bless this church family. I pray over every person that's making a decision today to believe in you. Would you pour out your new life? Would you, Lord, we can't make things different on our own. We can choose to follow you, and you're the one who shows up in our lives and makes us brand new. I pray there'd be brand new life in this place. I pray that as people make the decision today to let go of that thing they've been holding on to, I pray, Lord, you would flood their lives with your blessings. I pray, Lord, that we would discover the life that we've been hoping for and longing for. And we know we haven't arrived, God, but we choose to believe that there's more as we keep pressing into you, as we keep going into the relationship deeper and deeper with you that you desire with us. Have your way. Lord, make this church family into the family you want us to be. We pray, use us to see this city reborn. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, and my whole church family said, amen.
Thanks for joining us today. Please know you're always welcome to worship with us on Sunday mornings. Also, if you would like to give to our ministry, you can go to our website at apeopleintheircity.com. We hope to see you soon, and God bless.